We have these Old Testament stories about this God who came to his people and provided them laws and covenants and tabernacles and temples. And so they always knew just how to follow him and just where to go to meet with him. We understand God the Father. Then we had Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and now we really got a picture. A human being like us, 10 fingers and 10 toes, walking the earth, a family and peers, work and tears. One whose words we could actually hear, whose deeds we could actually see. We get God the Son, and we like things that we get. And then in Acts, we begin to hear of this Spirit that will be to us what Christ was to his disciples. This Spirit who enables the people of God to do absolutely incredible things with God. And we just barely pull off the wrapping paper. We see the box, but we assume we already have that. We already have what we need. To fully release the gift, it might leave us with more than just an extra dustbuster. But to open up this box, this Spirit box, to be a people filled with the Spirit, we know deep down inside, it might just lead us to be a people who have this excess of power, this excess of understanding, this excess of wisdom, this excess of invitations into God's will, an excess of access to the living God. And if we're honest, all these excesses carry with them this kind of sign of a great responsibility and change, a transformed life, and we're not quite so sure we want that. There is this gift for the taking that we call the Holy Spirit. This gift that could change everything between us and our God. But if we're honest, most days we're not sure we really want it. Because this gift just might change everything. Amen. And I can almost see us in the presence of our Father one day. And like my grandma sharing this word of thanks with him, "Oh, Father, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. That was a great gift. It was just what I needed." And I'm afraid he might say, "Oh, but my child, you never even pulled the paper off. You never really experienced my gift." And all the time, he was right there for the taking. How can I be so sure the Spirit is one of the greatest gifts given to us from God himself? Because when Jesus is about to leave the earth, he makes this special point to pull the disciples together, and he begins to share those things that are pressing on his heart with them. In those moments, he tells them what he really, really wants them to know and what he will leave with them when he goes. This is a scene that we're all familiar with, either from the movies or our own personal life. This idea of when a loved one is about to pass from this world to the next, if there's any kind of warning that this is happening, they'll typically make a point to gather their loved ones together and share some parting words with them, perhaps even offer a few parting gifts. For the last 5 years or so of her life, my grandma, the same one who really wasn't a fraud, she was a great lady, every single time I would see her, when I'd be ready to leave the room, she would do the exact same thing in every encounter for the final 5 years of her life. She would grab my hand, and she would look me in the eyes, and she would say, "Jamie, I just hope I get to live long enough to see what it is God is up to in you." You see, my Mimi, she could see it. And though she's been gone for 3 years, I still find myself walking through this earth, looking around for what God's doing, believing deep in my heart that he's up to something in my life, because she made a point to leave these words behind from her heart to mine. There's something powerful about final words that are spoken. And something powerful about final gifts that are given. My mom has my grandma's journal. My grandma gave it to her when her mental health began to decline and she realized that she was less able to write down her thoughts and reflections each day. So she told my mom, before it gets too bad, I want you to have this. It's a picture of my thoughts, of how I saw the world, of how I see God before things began to change inside of me. And now it's this piece of my grandma that my mom can turn to whenever she just simply needs to remember her voice or recall the way that she viewed this world, the beautiful way. Those final words, those final gifts given from one generation to the next, from one who is dying to one that still has life to live, they carry with them very special significance. Because they reveal what is closest to the heart of the one who is passing. You don't waste a lot of time when you know the end is coming. And they show what this one most longs for the remaining ones to understand and to hold on to. And so in John 14, we find Jesus in his last days on earth, and he's offering up just this sort of thing, his final words, his final gifts. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the gift. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. What was on Jesus' heart and mind as he's preparing to move on from this earth? This helper God who would come to be with us. What was on Jesus' heart and mind, his final moments here with us? A people walking in truth and growing in truth with the help of this helper God. A people alive as the living God makes his home in their hearts. All because of the help of this helper God. A people who not only know about God, but a people who actually know God and who really, truly love him. And a people experiencing being loved by him right back, thanks to this helper God. What's on Jesus' heart in these final moments? A people whose eyes might see the fullness of God more and more and more as this helper God reveals himself to them. A people defined by peace in a world that is full of chaos. A people who are calm and courageous even in the midst of incredible unknowns. This is the gift Jesus promised us. A helper God. To be with us and see to it that we actually become all that our God dreams for us to be. This is his promise. This is his gift. And for the ways that we walk through this earth and only give God pieces of our hearts and our time, asking him only to be with us when we decide that we really need him, requesting he keep a healthy distance when his presence might be a bit inconvenient, we leave Jesus' gift on the shelf, unopened. For the ways we get comfortable with the truth we already know, and we quit growing, we quit seeking to know God more, we quit asking questions, we quit digging deeper so God can keep revealing himself to us, we leave Jesus' shelf on the gift, gift on the shelf, just partially unwrapped, but still very much stuck in the box. For all the ways that we settle for just merely existing in this place, for just living for the weekends, just paying bills and paying taxes, refusing to believe we have a holy calling and a divine ability to play a part in God's kingdom actually coming to earth. We leave Jesus' gift of the Spirit on the shelf, unopened and unused. for the ways we allow ourselves to be so consumed by anxiety, so paralyzed by despair, proclaiming that our circumstances are simply too sad for joy, too bad for hope. The ways that we reject the truth that our God is good and our God is in control, that if He is for us, then nothing can stand against us, that we have this God who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. When we refuse to seek out the peace that comes from all of these truths together, well, then we leave Jesus' gift on the shelf, unopened, assuming it's not going to be enough for us. How strange we as human beings are. Always telling God in one way or another that His gifts aren't enough. That really He's not enough. And we tell Him this over and over before we've even unwrapped what He's given us. To see if maybe, just maybe, it's actually more than enough. And what is it about this gift of the Spirit that's so great, that's so fantastic? Why did Jesus think that this was at least an even trade, if not an even greater gift than His presence among us? I mean, who of us in this room wouldn't right here, right now, give up everything if we could just spend one day with Jesus? Seeing His face, hearing His voice, having a conversation with Him. Think about that. And we imagine what could possibly be better. Perhaps, the gift of all of our time being spent with God Himself. Unhurried, unbroken, this ongoing conversation, sitting together, eating together, working together, learning to love together with our God, not just one great day, but all of the time. That could be better, it seems. Because you see, before John 14, the people of God were well accustomed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years with coming to God. From the very first encounters with God in the burning bush, Moses turns aside and comes to Him. In a tabernacle, the people would draw near to the tent where God's presence was. In the temple, the people of God would make their pilgrimage to be near God for maybe just a few hours, maybe at least once in a lifetime. And even as Jesus is God coming to us, the Son of God, He came to Bethlehem. And He was raised in Nazareth, and He spent a lot of His time in Jerusalem and in Galilee. Besides this one stint that He had in Egypt as a child, on our modern maps, His entire existence on earth took place in this one little bitty country today. People came from all over to see Him, to catch a glimpse of Him, maybe to sit in on a sermon, but you know what? Some only got to see Him once. And some were even in the same town, and they didn't even get the memo that God was there. Can you imagine that? What a bummer. Some people were miles from God and they had no idea. God came to us, but we still kind of had to come to God to see Him. And so as Jesus prepares to leave, He says, "My children, if you get what's happening, you won't be afraid and you won't be upset. And you won't be sad in the least that I'm going. In fact, if you know me and love me, you'll be glad I'm going to be with my Father, because you know there's nowhere else that I'd rather be. You know how much I long to be with Him. And you'll also be glad, because with my going comes another, and with the help of this one, the Father and the Son will abide in you." He says, "We will move right in and we'll make our home with you." That means no more coming to us on your own terms. Could be good news or bad news, however you take it, I guess. He says, "You won't be able to get away from us." It's going to be fantastic. This is a brand new thing. He says, you will know God like no humans have ever known him before. You will be able to experience God like he has never been experienced before. And you will be able to work with God like no one has ever been able to work with God before. Because you won't have to go out looking for him all the time. And you won't have to hang around waiting for him to maybe show up. He says he will already be with you every moment of every day. Ready to speak, ready to lead, ready to listen, ready to share his gift of life with you. With God in you, Jesus says, you, my people, will be ready and able to really live. Don't be sad, he says. Trust me, my children, this gift, it's a good one. Please accept it. Unwrap it. And let my spirit live. Let me live in you. The more I get to live, the more you'll live. It's a win-win. Let my spirit live. And we hear the invitation with those disciples. I don't know about you, but we feel butterflies in our stomach. To one degree, it sounds exhilarating. Yes, God, live in me. Sign me up for that. Let your spirit have free reign in this heart and in this place. And then we think, well, maybe not free reign. I'd really rather your living in me not interfere with my bank account or my enemies or my need to control just some things. I see your gift, God, and I'm thankful for it. In fact, I think I want it, but I'm also afraid of it. And so I'll just peel the back corner, maybe the other corner in a few months. Maybe I'll take the paper off and see the box in a few years. It's a journey, you know. Maybe one day I'll open that box, and later I'll tear off the lid and so that I can't cram the gift back into its safe place ever again. One day. But for now, I'm just going to pull back a corner, if that's okay with you, God. Just get a peek. It's okay to be that honest with God. He knows our fears and hesitations anyway. But my prayer is that over these next few weeks, we as a church together might help each other be courageous enough to begin to peel back the paper, open the box, and let that Holy Spirit be absolutely free. Amen. Maybe some of us will open it all at once in this frenzied tear because you don't think about the future too much. Maybe others of you will be very careful and kind of nervous. But you'll do it bit by bit. However it happens, I don't care. I just pray that the paper comes off and that that box is opened in me and in you and in us. Yeah, amen. And I pray that together we might begin to tap into the power of our God who is in us in a way that we have never tapped into that power before. I pray that we might let the Spirit live and that we will come to life and that we will do it together. I don't know about you, but I'm fired up because I love summer and I love the Holy Spirit. And I just can't wait to see what he's got for us. My friends, let's start peeling back the paper. Remember, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. Peace, I leave with you. So peel it back. We're in this together. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, we don't often begin our prayers with Holy Spirit. And yet we know that you're fully alive in this place and that you want us to know you more, to live with you more, to give you free reign of our hearts as individuals and as a church together. And so that you can bring us to full life in this place and in the streets out there. And so would you begin that work today? Thank you for brothers and sisters to take this risky step with. And yet it's not risky at all because Jesus said it wasn't. And so trusting his words and leaning on each other, we begin this summer journey with you. Have your way in us, we pray. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.